This is a CBC podcast. Discover the CBC programs of yesteryear, like Man Alive and Life and Times, with the CBC Digital Archives. Watch, hear, and collect your favorite clips at cbc.ca/archives.
It's Friday, December 3rd. Rogers Communications is interested in purchasing a controlling interest in the Toronto Maple Leafs. Currently, consumer advocates say it would allow people who feel ripped off by the Leafs and their cable bill to consolidate their rage. This is The Current Podcast.
Hello, I'm Lyndon McIntyre, and this is the Friday edition of The Current.
I think what those officers were in the middle of was arresting a violent armed offender. And of course, the use of that weapon has been removed from that tape.
That's Toronto Police Chief Bill Blair last Monday describing his impression of an incident between G20 police officers and a protester named Adam Nobody. Nobody's arrest was captured on what has come to be a controversial video clip, which you're listening to now. It was shot by bystander John Bridge on June 26th at Queen's Park in downtown Toronto. The video was later uploaded to YouTube. Adam Nobody sustained a broken nose, a shattered cheekbone, and he was charged with assaulting a police officer, among two charges. Those charges were dropped by the Crown in October, and late last week, the Special Investigations Unit, the Civilian Oversight Agency, concluded an investigation into six complaints against police officers during the G20 summit, including one brought by Adam Nobody. No charges were brought against any officers, but in their release, the SIU noted that excessive force was probably used by officers in two of the cases they investigated, including the one involving Mr. Nobody. On Tuesday, the Special Investigations Unit reopened their investigation into the injuries sustained by Adam Nobody, and he's with me in the studio along with his lawyer, Julian Faulkner. Welcome.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Adam, I guess not everybody has seen this video. It's becoming a bit viral now, but what's on it?
The video pretty much shows me walking away from the police, and then I turn and see them running after me. And I start running, and then I'm on the floor, and it shows them pretty much holding me down and hitting me in the face quite a few times.
What were you doing there?
I live about a block and a half away from there, and I was seeing it. You know, it's my city. You have quite a big ordeal going down. It was the designated protest area, which we were told to go to peacefully protest, and I was there.
And are you a sort of a veteran of protests? Are you what they call an activist?
I've been to some protests back in the day, haven't been in a long time. But back when America was going into Iraq, I went to some protests. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't say I'm an activist, but I do definitely do care about the world, you know.
So why did you get beaten up? What were you doing?
I was just standing there. You know, I was at the time I was writing a sign, and I was...
What kind of a sign?
My sign said, "Let Donna graduate." It was from Beverly Hills 90210.
That's pretty politically loaded.
Yeah, I always thought it would be funny
Donna
to
graduate.
Go to a protest.
Was there a stick on the sign?
No, there was not. I was actually writing the sign at the time. I didn't even get to finish it. I finished writing it, and then I was coloring the end of the letters, and I turned behind me, and I see them, and I started walking away, and next thing I know, they're chasing after me, and they got me.
You didn't say anything? You didn't give them the finger?
No.
Nothing.
No,
you're just writing out
writing the
goofy
sign. Turned behind me, saw them, and then they came for me.
Now, why? Why do you think that happened? You must have had a lot of time to think about it.
I wasn't the only one that it happened to. You know, they were doing it to anybody who was there, anyone close enough, anyone who didn't get away in time.
Now, we got a video of that, yeah. and what we don't have a video of is an incident that you say happened afterwards where they got you in back at the vehicles
sure
and
did.
Really went to work on you.
Sure did.
What was that?
Basically, as soon as that first beating that happens in the video happened, they put zip ties on me. Then they handed me off to two plainclothes officers, and they were escorting me back to College Street where they were processing people, I suppose. There were no protesters there because the line had already been pushed back. And as we're walking there, these two plainclothes officers are twisting my arms behind my back, and they're telling me that when we get to the paddy wagons that are there, they're going to beat me up. I'm like, pardon, like, please don't beat me up. They're like, oh, no, we're going to beat you up when we get there. So there's two.
Just like that. I mean, this is. I'm trying to get my head around. They're telling you in a kind of a fun way.
Yeah, and let's just say they weren't saying they were going to beat me up. They were using vulgarity, swearing at me, you know, telling me they were going to beat me worse than that.
Now, there was one interesting aspect of this, and I think for the listeners, we're going to clarify something. They asked you what your name was, right?
This is after they've already roughed me up a little. I have literally an officer standing with his foot on my face, grinding my face into the ground, challenging me to get up, and I'm just like, what do you want me to do? You know? And then they finally asked me what my name is after about 5 minutes.
And you said?
I said Adam.
They said, what's your other name?
I'm like, I said Adam Nobody. And the guy takes his foot off of my face from grinding me and starts kicking me in the face.
Calling you a smartass.
Calling me a smartass. Saying,
Now, let's be clear. Your name is Adam Nobody.
My legal name is Adam Nobody.
It's not the name your parents gave
you. I legally changed my name to Adam Nobody.
So, yes. But you say Adam Nobody, and they think, hell, here we got a wise guy, and they put the boots to your face.
They sure do.
And I've seen the pictures, so I know you're not making it up.
In one of the pictures, you'll notice there's a nice footprint on my head from when the guy was grinding my face into the ground.
And your nose is still a little bit out of shape.
I had to get surgery for it, actually. I was in the hospital for quite a few days.
So what were the damages again?
I got my nose broken and my right cheekbone broken
at a time when your hands were tied.
Because I got two beatings, right? So it's hard to say which one came from which. But
so, Julian, what do you make of all this as a lawyer?
Well, you know, I hate to not just launch into a rant. I'm tempted to, but I'm going to back up a step and say we all know there were examples where good policing was needed during G20, and it happened. In other words, you know, there are many of us that were concerned at certain points in this thing. But like any profession, there's going to be bad examples and examples of bad policing. And I think the measure of us as a society and the measure of the police leadership is how they deal with the bad policing.
Now, let's listen to the Toronto Police Chief, Bill Blair, when he was asked about allegations of bad policing on Metro Morning on Monday.
The SIU, in their press release, I haven't seen their investigative documents, they haven't released them to us yet, but in their press release they said that they had reasonable grounds to believe that the police had used excessive force, and they used and pointed to their evidence as corroborating this, a YouTube video. I've had that video examined. It's been tampered with. There is a significant segment of that video that has been edited out. It's quite apparent, actually, when you're watching the video. And when the SIU is relying on tampered evidence, on essentially a fabrication as the corroboration of their assertion that there are reasonable grounds to believe, I think it really calls into question the quality of their investigation.
Now, the SIU investigation we've already mentioned, it's the Civilian Oversight Agency, and they're talking about a tape that was being shot as you were grabbed and then shot again as you were being beaten up, Adam. Mm-hmm. Now, he's saying that this was not just tampered with, it was fabricated, and that it was the principal case against the charge of to support the charge of police brutality. How do you respond to the suggestion that it was doctored?
Well, first of all, when I heard that on CBC, frankly, I was astonished, because it was our office that submitted the video to the SIU when it came to our attention. And when I heard that from the chief, I did what I think any lawyer should do faced with something like that. I tracked down the author of the video, brought him into my office. We interviewed him, had him swear an affidavit. He's a bank employee, a web designer bank employee. So he does an affidavit that swears to the accuracy of the video, that it was off for 3 to 5 seconds. Interestingly enough, another media outlet did a test yesterday with their own video expert, and sure enough, the gap is 4 seconds. He swears to the fact that it wasn't altered. He'd never met Mr. Nobody. He was a member of the public there. Now, it's important to appreciate there's two things being said by our chief of police. First of all, he says that Adam Nobody is a violent, dangerous offender who was attacking the police. And number two, he says the evidence of that has been removed. So you've got allegations against my client as bearing weapons and attacking the police. And secondly, you've got allegations of obstruct justice. That's very serious. And they're basically attacks on members of the public who just happen to be there. And so, of course, it's of concern, because it reflects what I consider to be a real problem here. Because when you have the bad policing, if this is the response, then we have a problem. And I want to emphasize, we've asked SIU to reopen the investigation, and they have, because this has to be dealt with, and it should be dealt with properly.
It's a reflection on the SIU as well as on the cameraman. And so, I mean, The gist of it is that while the camera was off for those 4 seconds, and a lot can happen in 4 seconds, that you did something that wasn't seen. What did you have? You've told us you had this little silly sign. Mm-hmm. What, did you have anything else? Did you have anything that could be mistaken for a weapon?
I had a backpack on, which was around my shoulder. I was taking pictures throughout the day with my camera phone, so my phone could have been in my hand. But also with the video, there's that 4 second glimpse missing or whatever, and you'll notice that when the video cuts off, I'm still standing and running away, and when the video regains 4 seconds later, I'm already on the ground. So how long was I on the ground for? You know, in 4 seconds, cut that down to 2 maybe, because they already had me on the ground when the video restarts. Mm. You know?
So that somehow out of that melee, Adam is charged with obstruction and assaulting police officers.
Yes.
What happened to those charges?
Mysteriously, the Crown Attorney on the record, when they come up to be dealt with, he's charged with assault, police, and obstruct. Mysteriously, when it comes up to be dealt with, the Crown Attorney puts on the record, and it's on a transcript available on our website. She says she's reviewed the officer's notes, the only names she can find on any arrest sheets, and none of the officers refer to having been assaulted. And so the charges are withdrawn. But I want to add something interesting to this whole affair. The original arrest record that has a handwritten badge number on it, well, that badge number isn't traceable to any Toronto police officer or any officer that was engaged in G20 policing.
Because there were officers from all over the country there.
That's right, but it was not traceable to any officer engaged in G20 policing.
What does that mean? I mean,
that means that the badge number was falsified, that the arrest sheet was falsified, and this is quite the irony in view of the words such as tampering or fabrication used by the chief of police against members of the public. But number two, the officers involved in what we see on the YouTube beating the tar out of Adam Nobody, those officers have not come forward. It's not about the right to remain silent. It isn't that they've been designated subject officers. They've identified themselves to the chief, and they've been designated subject officers, and they're exercising the right to remain silent. They are exercising a different right that none of us know about, the right to remain hidden. They are actually not coming forward, and I don't even know, and it's unclear to any of us, whether the chief has even ordered these officers to come forward and acknowledge that it's them. That's not about a right to remain silent.
Now, the chief, or the Crown lawyer, during the withdrawal of the charges, she says, there's no evidence of assault. There's no evidence of... She referred to assaulting behavior. What does that mean?
Means nothing. There's actually simply nothing. There's no evidence of any kind. In fact, this is the part that you know, I find disconcerting, is that the police officers that are named in the information, an officer by the name of Story, who's named in the information as having been assaulted. It refers to him having been assaulted on June 27th.
Where were you on June 27th, huh?
I was in Eastern holding cell.
With a broken nose.
With a broken nose, broken cheekbone. Could have been at the hospital, too.
I mean, this is the
People
stuff
make
of,
mistakes, clerical mistakes. I mean, have you looked into this?
It's the stuff of Alice in Wonderland. The truth of the matter is that there was an awful lot of documentary backfilling. And it includes fictitious badge numbers. It includes fictional assault dates. And I want to emphasize, and I'm sorry to need to do this little endorsement, but the website's called FaulknerCharney.com. And on the website are the photos of Adam and his injuries, are the videos, are the Crown transcripts. Let the members of the public assess for themselves against the chief's comments and the affidavit of Mr. Bridge. And from our perspective, it's very important to be transparent. What's interesting is that the police aren't acting in the same fashion. And I still say the same thing. There's an obvious question. Has Chief Blair ordered these officers to come forward, not to give their story to SIU, because subject officers can exercise the right to remain silent, but does he even know who these officers are? Because as far as SIU knows, the officers have yet to be identifiable, meaning they've never come forward, meaning they remain hidden.
Now, Bill Blair has a long record as being a fair cop, a good manager. He's managed some really difficult Toronto situations in the past without any violence, and is generally perceived as being the opposite of a hawk. How do you explain his reaction to this? I mean, and we've asked him to talk, speak for himself, and he can't. But how do you explain this what seems to be a new Bill Blair?
With all due respect, I can only characterize what happened on CBC Metro Morning as a baseless rant, and it's got to be dealt with. And he ought to apologize to Mr. Bridge. He ought to apologize to Adam Nobody. People make mistakes, including Chief Blair. He should have the temerity and the character to acknowledge he's made the mistake, or he should come up with the information that backs up allegations of the nature he's made. It's one or the other. And that's why we asked for the investigation to be reopened. Because I say this, after this investigation is now concluded, if it turns out that Chief Blair hasn't got new information, and it turns out that there is nothing more, then he owes these people an apology, and he should do the right thing. And if there's other information I don't know about, I'm completely content that it come out. We're being transparent. What is odd is, has Chief Blair ordered the officers who beat the tar out of Adam Nobody to come forward and identify themselves even to him? Has he done that?
Hmm. Adam, are you going to pursue your legal remedies? What's the
sign? I got to see what happens, you know. It's just, as of late, it's been so much stuff going on with all these allegations and stuff he's saying about me. It's just another slap in the face I got to go through.
And have the SIU investigators been to see you yet?
I talked to the SIU once when I was in custody after I got back from the hospital while I was in custody.
And any inquiries from internal investigators in the Toronto Police?
Nothing.
No. Got any demonstrations planned for your immediate future?
I'm just doing what I'm doing, you know?
Well, thank you very much for coming in, and
thanks
for this explanation of at least this side of the thing, and we'll be looking for further developments. Thank you, Julian.
Pleasure.
Julian Faulkner is the lawyer representing Adam Nobody. Adam Nobody suffered a broken nose and a broken cheekbone when he was arrested during the protests at the G20 summit in Toronto last June. Ontario's Special Investigations Unit has reopened its investigation into the injuries he sustained following comments by Toronto Police Chief Bill Blair. As we mentioned, the Crown dropped all charges against Mr. Nobody, and we requested an interview with Chief Blair, but his office declined our request, citing the fact that the SIU's investigation has been reopened. The comments you heard from him in our program came from an interview Chief Blair did earlier with Matt Galloway on Metro Morning, which is CBC Toronto's local morning show here in Toronto. Coming up in our next half hour, we'll pay a visit to Yeonpyeong Island, where people are still assessing the damage from North Korea's artillery attack last week and wondering what might come next. I'm Lyndon McIntyre, and you're listening to the Friday edition of The Current.
For more on all of our CBC podcasts, head to cbc.ca/podcasting.